It is time to welcome my regular guest. Chris Carey kindly volunteers his time to select and research our classic picks each week and then comes in to share his findings. We've got a special one today, Boss Skaggs, with a 50-year anniversary of his release. Welcome, Chris.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. This is Boss Skaggs' second release. Came out 50 years ago this month. It's pretty stylistically diverse. Kind of a soul with jazz, gospel, country, blues, totally criminally underlooked when it came out in 1969. Boss Skaggs, he was born in 1944, grew up in Dallas, Texas, and his best friend in high school was Steve Miller. They got along famously in high school, played in music and kind of messed around in high school. And then they both went to college together at University of Wisconsin in Madison and were in a few bands there. And then Boss Skaggs decided that he was going to go to London and get famous. And he dropped out of college and went to London. And he played around in the UK for a little bit and released his first record in 1965 that failed miserably. He kind of got absolutely no attention from it. So his friend Steve Miller had just started the Steve Miller Band in San Francisco in 67. So he flew back and went to San Francisco and joined up with Steve Miller. And he played on Steve Miller Band's first two releases, which are critically considered some of Steve Miller Band's best releases.
I love those first couple records.
Yeah. So he played with Steve Miller through that. And then in 68, he decided he was going to kind of work on his own. And he worked on a demo tape. And as luck had it, he lived next door to Jan Wenner in San Francisco.
Rolling Stone.
Those of you who don't know, Jan Wenner is a co-founder of Rolling Stone. So he had some contacts. And so Jan Wenner liked what he heard on Boss Skaggs' demo. And he got it to Jerry Wexler, who we've talked about before in here. You know, he was the famous Atlantic. He was kind of a music writer come record executive. He worked at Atlantic. He coined the term rhythm and blues. He basically discovered Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, Led Zeppelin, Bob Dylan, Dire Straits, and many, many more. So the guy is huge, and he likes Boss Skaggs' demo. So he signs him to Atlantic and suggests to Wenner that maybe they should record at Muscle Shoals Studio in Alabama. And at the time, Muscle Shoals Studio was brand new. It opened in 69. So it was a brand new studio when they went down there. But so the players on this are amazing. The musicians on this album are amazing because it's the Muscle Shoals rhythm section, right? It's these guys that were played on all of these famous late 60s, early 70s Southern Soul records. And so it's amazing, amazing just to listen to this. I mean, the organ parts on this, there's some, and actually the track we'll play later today has got some great Hammond B3 on it and a great horn section. But at the time while he was down there, he also ran into Duane Allman, who was recording, and so he got Duane Allman to play guitar.
How fortuitous.
Yeah, so Duane Allman plays on several tracks on this album, and his guitar playing is amazing too. So, you know, there's a lot going on here, but unfortunately, when this one was released, it kind of just didn't get that much notice either. It did a lot better than his first album. It sold, initially, it sold about 20,000 copies, which for Atlantic wasn't, you know, they weren't super happy with it. The people that did review it gave it pretty good reviews, and they liked the fact that he blended rock, soul, gospel, country kind of effortlessly. And I mean, he was kind of, you know, other than Van Morrison out there, nobody else kind of was sounding like Boss Skaggs did on this album. But over time, critically, this, like, people kind of rediscovered it. And over time, this album has grown hugely in stature, and now it's like in Rolling Stone's 500 best albums of all time. It's I can't remember the rank. It's not super high, but it's on the list, and it's been re-released several other times. And since then, I think a couple of times on the re-releases, it's actually charted in the Billboard Top 200. But yeah, initially nobody really paid attention to it. But if you go back and listen to it, it's amazing. And it's funny because Boss Skaggs, after this album, he recorded another couple of records that were moderately successful. And then in 1976, he released Silk Degrees, which was huge for him. It went platinum in both the U.S. and Canada. And by that time, Boss Skaggs was kind of doing this yacht rock kind of meets disco.
I think that's what my early associations with him are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
that,
I mean,
was what came out around.
Yeah, but that, well, that was the stuff that made him a lot of money and got his name on the map. And I like that album a lot, but because it's got, you know, it's got kind of a Steely Dan vibe. Uh-huh. But But this album, really, it's a great record. And for anybody who's a huge Van Morrison fan and maybe hasn't listened to this album, this is one you should check out.
Absolutely. I'm talking with Chris Carey about our classic pick of the week. Boss Skaggs, a self-titled release, came out about 50 years ago. It is our classic pick. Other things to add before we get into your epic first selection?
Yes, it's an epic song, and it's actually, it might be my favorite on the album, although the album is great. There's not a bad song on the album. It is 12 and a half minutes long, but it won't feel that long because it's really good. But it's very bluesy, and like Duane Allman plays a super amazing solo in this, but also you got to check the organ parts in this, and the horn parts in this are awesome.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Chris.
Yeah, thanks.